you're listening to a podcast presentation of Hillside Four Square Church in Reno, Nevada.
I want to start 2017 with something of significance. And first off, starting to celebrate life. And I was reminded when Ethan Lear came in, he was the first baby born. What year was that? 2006 is the first baby born in Reno. In 2006, and now he celebrates his 11th birthday today. Goodness gracious, where's the time gone? But to be also be looking, 2016 for some was a time of great loss. People losing family members, going through difficulty. And we don't want to be putting, just glossing over the things where we've experienced hurt, where we've experienced pain. And for some of us, we are still in a process as we look forward of grieving and of mourning. And it doesn't mean you're not being faith-filled to experience that. As a matter of fact, I think one of the things that oftentimes Christians don't do well is to feel the negative emotions that we have in ourselves just from going through life. And so I think one of the things that God wants to remind us is it's okay for us to grieve and it's okay for us to mourn, but also know that he's the one who turns our mourning into dancing. He's the one who brings joy out of our sorrow. He's the one who redeems the things that have been lost and brings restoration and finds a way to take what was meant for evil and turn it for good. And so there's a couple of things I wanted to touch on this morning, kind of along those lines. Since last February, I've been participating in a program called The Daily Burn. It's not as fun as it sounds. It's a morning, or you can do it anytime. It's an online 30-minute workout. And I'm thankful because they actually have men that participate in this as well, because the first couple times I watched it, or participated, it was just like 7 or 8 women, and they're jumping around, and they're happy. And I'm looking and thinking, there's no way I'm going to be able to motivate myself to do this, because I want to work out, but I don't want to work out with this. But they brought a couple of older gentlemen who resemble myself, and I think I could do like them. And so there's corny things that happen. My wife will come up, she'll say, is this one of the trainers you like? And I say, no, it's Barefoot Becca. I had to go into the library and pick somebody else. I didn't like that one, but I really like this one. But there's something that one of the trainers says just at every time as she's finishing the workout. She says, it's time for us to set our intention for the day. And I thought initially, what does that even mean? And as she begins to talk, it's we need to decide, how am I going to look at today? What am I going to prioritize? What am I going to give myself to? What am I going to invest myself in? And I'm going to intend that that's going to be what's true for me today and moving forward. And I think it's, New Year's can be a time where people do resolutions. I'm not really a resolution person, but I think it's a really significant thing to set our intention, not just for today, but for 2017. I want to purpose that I and we would grow as a church family, that we would each take faith steps, and each of those are going to look different depending on what God's doing in our lives. There's nothing more fulfilling than finding out we have a greater purpose than just the job or the vocation that we have, but that we actually get to do something that impacts people's eternity. Every single one of us has inside of us this spark, this reminder that we've been made in God's image. And what he wants to do, and he wants to wake up in us, is that he made us to be people who bring about restoration, who bring about this reconciliation between God and people. And that it's not because of our eloquence and not because, we've got all the answers. It actually is because God loves us and he loves the people that we're with. And he wants to use you just like you normally are, just you, little piece of Jesus that you are, in the places that you work, in your neighborhoods, in the schools, everywhere we go, that we would be a reminder that there's a God who loves us. And so I want to read through Psalm chapter 37, verses 1 through 6. This is something we're going to be spending some time in over these next couple of weeks, but specifically something for this year. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Number one, don't fret. I looked up fret. It says, don't give in to the temptation to worry. Don't be afraid. Don't be anxious. Over these last couple of months, especially heading into and coming after the presidential election, I've heard many proclamations of doom and gloom as people talk about, what our country is facing, what our world is facing. And there's a lot of really negative things that we get to hear on the news every day. I guess good news is no news. But the negative things can become such a part of our focus that we can live in fear and find out, oh, ISIS did this and so-and-so did that and Russia is this. And, you know, let's not even mention the Donald. To get into situations where we're so worried about what's potentially coming at us that we miss the fact that we follow after the one who holds our days in his hand. We follow after the one who is the creator of the universe, and he has navigated through the rise and fall of countless empires and countless bad times, and always shows up with good news. So we're not to fret. Don't give power and focus to things that are going to tear us down, but instead keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus, the one who is the beginning and ending of our faith. Number two, forget envy. The possibility exists for us to look at our own lives and to find them wanting. Find them lacking something. And we could look at others and say, you know, maybe if I just had what so-and-so had, if I just had what these people had, or if I just had more of this or more of that, we start to find ourselves not even able to be content with the good blessings that God gives to us. As part of our declaration of saying, I'm not going to worry, it's like, I'm also not going to be envious. It doesn't mean that maybe the situation I'm in is ideal, but I can also know that I can find contentment in any and every situation. It's something that we learn, and it's something we can choose. Number three, trust in the Lord. To trust is to be bold, to be confident in, to find our full security in him. When we're looking to the Lord, it's every single area of our life that we can say, this belongs to you. And we're going to find, as the Holy Spirit reveals to us, certain situations tend to bring out either the best or the worst in us. And we find out that there's areas where fear is arising, or anxiety, or worry, or other emotion, other things like that start to rise up. It shows another area we can say, okay, Lord, I'm having a little bit of a difficulty with this. I put my hope and I put my trust in you. He's the one where we can know our faith is going to be a firm foundation. We're going to find great security in him. One of the other things in this particular verse where it talks about trust in the Lord, it says, and do good. We have the opportunity to intend to do things that are good. We think, well, what should I do? My mentor, Jerry Cook, said, if it's not illegal, immoral, or unbiblical, do that. Okay? He says, well, can you give more clarity? It's like, whatever makes sense to you, to do good. Do what you think needs to be done. When you see something, say, somebody should do something about that. Guess what? You're somebody. We're somebody. Do good. There's a great promise that God gave to his people. It was the land of Israel, but it's referred to here. It says, do good and dwell in the land. Now we can think of that, okay, we're going to dwell in Reno, but really what the land represented to the Israelites was blessing, promise, and inheritance. So God tells us, put your trust in him, look for opportunities to do good, and live in the blessings that he's given to you. Be thankful for the inheritance that he's placed you in. And know if you're going to dwell in that land, it's a declaration of faith for the future. God's going to continue blessing me. He's going to continue keeping me here. This is where we live, in a place of God's blessing. We come down to number four, embrace faithfulness. Faithfulness is not flashy. Faithfulness is not loud. Faithfulness does not get a bunch of attention, but faithfulness is where we get to see God work through us in the processes that make us more like him. One of my favorite books in the whole world, you hear me talk about it a lot, is Eugene Peterson's A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. And really, he says, following after God is we hear from him, and then we may have a long period of time where we're not having those daily words of declaration of God doing this or that. But he says, we learn to trust him as we faithfully obey and do what we know we're to do and look for opportunities to become the people he made us to be. And that only happens when you're faithful and you're faithful and you're faithful and you're faithful. And at some point, fruitfulness comes out of that. Number four, celebrate God's plans for you. Celebrate what God's got for you. You think, I don't even know what that is. We were talking not long ago about our dreams and what God wants us to be dreaming about. And something happens to us as the older we get, we can forget how to dream. We are like Peter Pan in the movie Hook, where he grows up and, you know, becomes a, you know, basically Wendy tells him, you're a pirate. He loses the ability to have that childlike awe and wondering about, you know, what could I do or what could God do in my life? And I think part of this embracing, celebrating God's plan, it's knowing that he wants us to not just look forward to being in heaven, but he made us on this life to enjoy it. He says it gives God great joy when we embrace the things he gave us to embrace. Jesus said he came to give us life in all of its fullness. And in some ways, it doesn't mean we're always living on this adrenaline high, but it means that we're able to actually take the time to recognize God is doing significant things, and he works through us to see those things come about. And the coolest things ever are when somebody comes up with an idea and says, "No, maybe I feel like I'm supposed to do this particular thing, or I'm supposed to do that particular thing." And they start to do it. And they begin to see the results of what happens and the lives that get impacted as that happens. And to say, it's God that does that through us, but he gives us the ideas to make that happen. Which leads us into dreaming again. What are the desires of your heart? What are the things that you want most of all? It says, commit your way to the Lord and delight yourself in him, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. This isn't just this cosmic wish list where we get to say, and I want a pony, and I want this, and all these things. We could say, you know, God, just give me all these things. It's not a gathering. It's more of the things that are the real meaning of life stuff, that as we commit our way to him, God has a way of taking our priorities and shifting them. He has a way of lining them up with his. So we can say, Lord, what you want for me. And then he starts to give us those dreams and the things that we ache for in here. And to be able to say, God brings those things about because he's actively at work on behalf of those who are available to him. Being intentional about our way, committing our way. In our day and age, we don't really think about the way as like a path because most of our traveling is done in vehicles. But back in the old days, if you were going to follow in Jesus's way, it would be you're walking as he walked. You're walking where he walked. If he heads in this direction, that's the way you're going. Committing our way to the Lord has something to do with saying my lifestyle is going to reflect Jesus Christ in every area. And when I don't, maybe I'm confronted with an area that doesn't, I get to repent, or I get to change one way of thinking for another, and I get to begin to walk following after him. And that committing of my way to him is the same thing of taking an intention. My intention today is to bring glory to God. Too many times we let days happen to us. Now, I don't think everybody has to use bullet points or lists. It's godly to do it, but if you don't, that's okay. But to also know, sometimes we end up missing out on the very things God wants to do because we're letting the world happen to us instead of preparing and saying, you know what, I want to be a person who finds time, who makes the time to spend time in the Lord. I think one of the coolest things technology does is it gives us neat things like we have a new app for our for Hillside, and you get into our app and it's got a Bible reading plan each day already laid out for us. It's got opportunities to listen to messages, and it's this really neat thing to say, you know what, I don't want to have to wait to think at the end of my day if I can find time to spend time with the Lord, but instead I'm going to look for an opportunity at everything in the morning. I find a way to get my morning coffee, right? I want to find a way to get my morning time with the Lord, my time where we get to spend time together. Last of all, Jesus is in the boat. A few weeks ago, my friend David Chumley gave us a message about the Jesus and his disciples going through a storm on the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus was asleep, and the disciples were panicking because they were going to die. And the whole message was, no matter what it is you're going through, no matter what storms of life come at you, don't forget, Jesus is in the boat. Following Jesus Christ does not mean we don't experience pain. I've already talked about how we have gone through great grieving, great loss, but there's a great sense of comfort knowing no matter what we face, our faith is made for times of difficulty. Jesus doesn't get intimidated by something that's harsh, something that's challenging, a doctor's diagnosis, loss of a loved one. Jesus is right there in the middle of it, and he gives us the strength and the faith to continue to stand, because when the world is shaking, people look for something that's going to be solid. And you may not look at yourself as a solid person, but if Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit dwells in you, you are a solid person. And you're a person that God's going to use and going to work through when all chaos is erupting. There's something that happens when there's a national emergency. You see people freaking out. They're running crazy. They're running. But you see also there's these trained responders, people who have the training, whether they be police officers or firemen. And instead of running away from the danger, running away from the chaos, where do they go? They run to it. It's counterintuitive because when all hell's breaking loose, it's panic at the disco time. Everybody's out. Instead, we get to be people who know Jesus is in the boat. And because of what he's doing in us, we can run to those situations and even ask the question, what can I do for you? Even if it's just to be present and it's just to pray. Because we know God will work in amazing ways through us. 2017 is going to be great. My greatest prayer is that every single one of us and the people we touch, the people we interact with, would see leaps and bounds moving forward in our faith and our relationship with God. That the areas where we're wrestling with our fears, whether they be balloons or whatever, that we can take those head on because God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this last year. Lord, for the things that we need to grieve and mourn, help us to do that well, to fully experience our feelings, to fully experience those things that we've gone through, but also knowing that you're the one who brings joy to the other side of the morning. We ask, Lord, that you would show us what faith or growth steps we can take this year, how we can be a blessing to others. Show us, Lord, what it looks like to love you and to love our neighbor. Lord, show us how we can cooperate with where your Holy Spirit's at work in us, and give us great perseverance and great intentionality about how we live our life this year, that we can be all you made us to be. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We also thank you for the food we're about to eat. Lord, I thank you that when we eat together, it's a deeply spiritual thing. It's something of great significance where we get to share a common table. We get to share stories. We get to share each other's lives. Lord, Hillside is a community of people. It's not a building. It's people. We celebrate with those that are gathered with us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada. You can reach us at web@hillside4.org.